This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Two types of hijrah. We're going to be speaking about both of them. One is hijrah, physical hijrah. Hijrah of the body and the soul. A place that you're unable to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely in, and you're going to another place that is, that's more peaceful for you, and you're able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hijrah, of course, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally when people have mentioned the hijrah, they usually think about the hijrah from Mecca to Medina. Of course, right now we're speaking about the hijrah of the companions to Habasha, Abyssinia, because there's no Muslim country yet. And if there's no Muslim country yet, where do you go? And so that hijrah, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the physical hijrah itself. After conquering Mecca, when Mecca became Muslim, before, of course, people were leaving Mecca to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely in Medina. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon entering Mecca, when Mecca had surrendered and it was had been conquered, and now it's under the control of the Muslims, and it is now also, you know, a place where it has become a Muslim town, a Muslim country, part of the ummah or the nation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established. There's the state that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established in Medina, and Mecca now was part of that also. And so when he came in, he said, "La hijrata ba'd al-fath." La hijrata ba'd al-fath. There's no more hijrah after the conquest of Mecca. That means you don't need to leave Mecca anymore. Do you want to stay in Mecca? You worship Allah freely. You go to Medina, you worship Allah freely. So when he said, "La hijrata ba'd al-fath." There's no more hijrah. That means there's no more hijrah that is necessary, that is mandatory. Because if you were to stay in Mecca, then it's very hard for you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why if you're living in a country, let's say for example, even in the United States of America, when it comes to the point where you're unable to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely, then we as Muslims have to look for a place where we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. And why? Because if you sometimes you're able to worship Allah freely, but to live in a land of non-Muslim or surrounded by non-Muslims, it's extremely difficult for you to raise your children also, to protect your children, to raise them up as Muslims. And so if the situation becomes very, very difficult, then of course we have to look for a new place. Why? Because if you don't, then you won't be preserving the most precious thing you have, which is your deen. And the most precious thing your family has, which is their deen. The most precious thing that your children have, which is their deen. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna alladhina tawafahum al-malaika." Those whom the angels have taken their soul, ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا. And so they, of course, they have wronged themselves. قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. Like, what happened to you guys? Why are you in this state? In other words, why are you in this state that you're in right now? And because some people, they complain, like, you know what? It was very difficult for us to worship Allah, really. It was very difficult for us to practice Islam. And so when they die in a state that's not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they're asked, قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We were oppressed. We were oppressed. I mean, it's hard for us to apply our deen. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَ. And what is it? What's going to be said to them? Is the earth, the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was it not wide enough, spacious enough? I mean, there's no place for you, nowhere else for you to go except to stay there. You said you can't worship Allah freely, that you can't practice your deen freely, so that this is why you're like this. This is why you died in this state. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what will be said to them? قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَ فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. So that you can make hijrah, you emigrate to it. فَأُولَٰئِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those, you know, you have no excuse, because you had other places you could go to. And you die in that state, you didn't protect your religion, you didn't protect your children's religion, your family's religion, and then you die, and you're dying in that state. You can't say, oh no, it was tough, you know. It was tough, it was very difficult to worship Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, it will be said to them, why did you not go make hijrah? فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Those are people who, their abode will be Jahannam. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Their abode will be Jahannam. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And what a wretched outcome. What a wretched end result. So that's why it's not an excuse to say that you are in such a land and you couldn't worship Allah freely. Because there is hijrah. You could leave. And you have to leave if you're unable to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freely. And so that's the hijrah, the physical hijrah, right? So you're going. Of course, there's another hijrah, which is a spiritual hijrah. What is the spiritual hijrah? That is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said from another hadith from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, al-Muslim, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim is one whom other Muslims are safe from his tongue and hand. Wal muhajir, man hajara ma naha Allahu an. And a muhajir, a person who makes the hijrah, is one who abandons. Hajara means to abandon, right? The hijrah means to abandon. Ma naha Allahu an. Those who abandon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. And so that's why that hijrah is also mandatory all the time. It is mandatory for us to abandon that which is haram. Just like it's mandatory upon us to abandon areas we can't worship Allah freely. And areas where we can't hold on to our deen. And so, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, he wanted to be, well, because of it, one of the virtues of the hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوْلَا أَنَّ الْأَنصَارِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوْ أَنَّ الْأَنصَارِ سَلَكُوا وَادِيًا. If the Ansar were to take one path, أو شِعْبًا, or a mountain pass, لَسَلَكْتُ فِي وَادِ الْأَنصَارِ, I would have taken the path of the Ansar. وَلَوْلَا الْهِجْرَةِ لَكُنْتِ امْرِئًا مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. If it wasn't for the hijrah, then I would have been amongst the Ansar. This is the virtues of the Ansar. And also, if it wasn't for the hijrah, means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he couldn't be amongst the Ansar. Why? Because he was amongst the people of Medina, Mecca. He was amongst the people of Mecca. So the hijrah itself, you can't say you're from the Ansar, because he was living in Mecca. He said, if it wasn't for this hijrah that I did, of course I can't claim to be from the Ansar. I can only claim to be amongst the Muhajirun, because I'm the one who left. But if I couldn't, I would have actually been amongst the Ansar. I would have wanted to be amongst the Ansar. And of course, this is something that the Prophet ﷺ said in praising the Ansar. And this was a time in which the Messenger of Allah ﷺ defeated the Muslims in Hunayn. Defeated the disbelievers in Hunayn, right? He defeated the tribes who, especially those who were coming from Thaqif, from the city of Ta'if, and also the remaining tribes that did not accept Islam. So they came all out and they fought against the Muslims, the final battle. They wanted to fight to the death. How were they going to fight to the death? Do you know what they did? They brought everyone. And they brought everyone, including all the animals, with them. Why? Because if you bring all the animals and all your possessions with you to the battlefield, then you cannot run away. You can't run back home. You don't have no home. You already took everything with you. Like, you go home, if you don't win here, you're not going to have anything. If we don't win, what happens? If you don't win, that means you've lost all your property, because it's going to be ghanima. It's going to be the spoils of war. And they did that because they did not want anyone to flee, because you have nowhere to go back home. You have no home left. Either you win or you're killed. So you fight until the end because you don't have anything else. Everything's with you. Your children, your family, they brought everybody. That's why the Battle of Hunayn, when the Muslims went over the mountain and they saw the people, and they were very smart. They put the men in the front and the women in the back. Right? So you couldn't see the women, what they were in the back. And so you just look, subhanAllah. Like, what kind of number is this? How are we going to defeat this number? Like, it's a, the whole valley is full of people. How can we win? You come out and you see. And that, and that's what they did in the Battle of Hunain. So, but afterwards, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Muslims victory. And they had, of course, a lot of spoils of war. Why? All the animals are there. They brought everything. So now the Muslims won. And so what the Muslims did, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did was, he gave this person, those who had recently accepted Islam, he gave them 100 camels sometimes. Do you know 100 camels? It's a lot. Because one camel is like the equivalent of an SUV. Right? The old days, a camel is like an SUV. And you know, like a donkey, it's like maybe a Toyota, right? And a horse, it's like a Ferrari. Right? So that's a horse. Horse is like Ferrari. So like imagine giving someone 100 SUVs. That's a lot. Right? That's a lot. So he would give this person 100. And these were new Muslims. So the Ansar, the people of Medina, they were very, very poor. Many of them were extremely poor. And they said, their blood is still dripping from our sores. And the Messenger of Allah is giving them, this person, 100. These are some of the young Ansar. They were saying things like this. They were saying, and the Messenger of Allah is giving them 100 camels, 100 sheep, 100 cattle here and there, like everybody, like nothing. And we don't get anything. We don't get anything. And they were worried. And so some of them were, you know, those, you know, whose iman were not as high, they said, you know, they were disappointed. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this, he stood up and he said, Ya ma'ashar al-ansar. Ya ma'ashar al-ansar. Oh, group of ansar. Alam ajidkum dhullala. Did I not find you astray? Like, did I not find you astray? فَهَدَاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِي And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you with me, but because of me. وَعَالَةً فَأَغْنَاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِي And you were poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you great sustenance. وَمُتَفَرِّقِينَ And you were also divided. فَجَمَعَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِي And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united you. United you. Through me. وَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ أَمَنْ And so they kept on saying, Allah and His Messenger, Aman. That means Allah and His Rasul, this is the better. It's better for us, better of a blessing, a greater blessing, that we have Allah and His Messenger. أَلَا تُجِيبُونِي Are you not going to answer? Are you not going to answer? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking them. فَقَالُوا And they said, Allah وَرَسُولُ أَمَنْ Allah and His Messenger are more blessed. You know, more of a blessing and of a favor. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَمَا إِنَّكُمْ لَوْ شِئْتُمْ أَن تَقُولُوا كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَانَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ كَذَا وَكَذَا You guys, some of you guys are saying, if this were to happen, he mentioned so many things specific. He mentioned certain things and you know, he said he didn't, he, you know, the narrator didn't remember everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, some of the virtues and the blessings. And then he says, "Ala tarawna, ala tarawna ay yadhhab an-nasu bisha'i wal ibn." Are you not pleased that the people go with their sheep and their camels? Wa tadhhabuna bi rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ila rihalikum. And you get to go back to your houses with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you not pleased with that? He said, Al-Ansar shi'ar wa nas dahar. He said, Al-Ansar, the Ansar, they are like the inner garments. Like they're the ones who are like touching your skin and inner garment. And the out, when the people, they thought the people are just outward, it's just outwardly. Whatever is happening, you see just outwardly. But the real true, those who are really with me, those are you guys, the Ansar. وَلَوْلَا الْهِجْرَةِ لَكُنْتِ إِمْرِئًا مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ And if it wasn't for the hijrah, I would have been amongst the Ansar. I would have been amongst the Ansar. وَلَوْ سَلَكَ النَّاسُ وَادِيًا وَشِعْبًا If the people were to take one path, like all of the people, they took this path, if they were to take a path, لَسَلَكْتُ وَادِيَ الْأَنْصَارِ وَشِعْبَهُمْ I would have taken the path of the Ansar and the mountain pass of the Ansar and the valley that they take. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَلْقَوْ بَعْدِ أُثْرَةً. So you guys are going later on, don't worry, you're going to have you're going to have wealth and you're going to be tested. And فَاصْبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي عَلَى الْحَوْضِ. You're going to find difficulties also later on, you know, things, obstacles and so forth. But فَاصْبِرُوا, be patient, حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي عَلَى الْحَوْضِ, until we meet again at the hawl, right? at the watering pond. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions, of course he's speaking about this, and he himself made the hijrah. So what is the hijrah? What are some of the benefits of the hijrah? First of all, when somebody wants to go from a place to another to worship Allah freely, they are in a state of worship. This is a very, very, very virtuous act. Many people come from Somalia, Cambodia, Vietnam. They come for different reasons. Some people come for financial reasons. Some people come because of the deen, because they want to worship Allah freely and protect their family for safety and security. If a person has the right intention, once they make that hijrah, it doesn't matter what happens. If they die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a great reward. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَخْرُجْ مِن بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Those who leave their houses, immigrating to Allah and His Messenger. ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ. And then death catches up to them. فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. He will have the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, you know, this, the reward, of course, will be confirmed. The reward, even if he didn't complete his hijrah, And so also the hijrah. When somebody leaves something, it's very difficult. Let's say you grow up in a country, and then that country maybe, you know, it's difficult. There's war and difficulty. Sometimes you're unable to worship Allah freely. And believe it or not, you have to really be careful. We ourselves have to, you might say, why are we speaking about this? Because things can change very quickly. Every country, right, every single country that has a civil war, before the civil war, what did they say? They say, We never saw it coming, right? And so they always, like, if you ask the people in Syria, we never saw it coming. In fact, one of the brothers I met, he said, you know, he said, we were building a, we were helping, I was raising money for one of the bakery to make, you know, make bread to give to the refugees. Right. And some of the brothers went and they were telling me the story of a man. He came and we gave him, you know, like warm bread. And he was so happy that he had tears coming down his eyes. He said he had tears coming, And he said, you know, before I had three bakeries in the city. I could eat as many. As much bread as I wanted. Like that's my life. But for the last few months, I have not had anything fresh until today. And he said, but then of course, you know, now just one piece of bread is so appreciative of it. And he said, you know, before the hijrah, before everything happened in Syria, there was what was happening in Syria. He said, no, we never expected it. Like nobody saw it coming. But now, look, he has nothing left. And he has a small place that he's staying with family. Like all the house, he was very well off. All of that is gone. Like almost overnight. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also mentioned those who make hijrah, like Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. He wanted to accept Islam. He said, Ataytu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqultu. I came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I said to him, give me your hand. Give me your hand. And I, so that I can make bay'ah. So I can make bay'ah. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reached out his hand, his right hand towards me. So I grabbed his hand, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw some hesitancy. Like sort of like, there's like sort of like a little bit of hesitancy. And he says, Malaka ya Amr. So, oh Amr, what's going on? Why? What's wrong? He says, what's wrong? He said, Aratu an ashtarib. He said, I would like to set a condition. Before I accept Islam, I want to set a condition. Why? Because he used to hate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? He used to hate the Messenger of Allah. And he said, if I was able to kill him on that day, I would have killed him any time before this, before he accepted Islam. If he had the opportunity, he would have done it. You know, if he did have the opportunity, he would have done it. But he said he didn't have the opportunity, of course. And he said, if I would have done that, then I would have been truly, I would have been truly someone who was, you know, had in a state of calamity. I would never have been successful. And so he says, Tashtarit mada. Tashtarit mada. What is it that you want to set a condition? Like what is it that you want? And so he says, I want that I be forgiven for. Like everything that I did before, that I will be forgiven. And so he says, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الْإِسْلَامِ يَهْدِمَ مَا كَانَ قَبْلِ. He said, did you not know that Islam wipes out everything that's before? وَأَنَّ الْهِجْرَةِ تَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا. And did you not know that the hijrah wipes out everything that's before that? And وَأَنَّ الْحَجِّ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا. And did you not know that Hajj wipes out everything that's before that? Right? Did you not know that? And so the hijrah wipes out what? All the sins, as if when someone is committing a sin, right, it piles up on them. Just like, you know, you put one sin, you put a brick and it piles up. Right? It piles up and you have a huge structure of sin. When you accept Islam, you wipe out all that sin, you take it all down. Right? And so as if you destroy the structure that you built because we were sin, full of sins there. وَأَنَّ الْهِجْرَةَ تَهْدِمْ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهَا. So if you accept Islam, it wipes everything. If you make hijrah, it wipes everything. If you make hajj, it wipes everything. And that's why, as I said, sometimes when things happen, they can happen very, very quickly. You might find yourself in a time in which you're unable to worship Allah freely. You have to escape. Know that if you can't worship Allah freely, and you have to take your family, then take your family. Because the most important thing you have is your deen. Right? The most important thing you have is your deen. If you can't worship Allah, if you see that you can't protect your children, and they're protecting in their deen, you know, then you have to take them out. You have to go to a different place. And if they are in a school that you feel like they're not able to preserve and take care and prep and practice Islam properly, then you have to take them out. You have to take them out. And that's protecting them. And so it's something that is, of course, mandatory to protect our deen. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the hijrah is the best faith. Like it's one of the best show of faith. Why? Because you're willing to leave everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Amr ibn Abbas, he said, قال رجل يا رسول الله. He said that a man said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, ما الإسلام? What is Islam? What is Islam? He says, أَيُسْلِمَ قَلْبُكَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Islam is that your heart surrenders to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam, أَيُسْلِمَ قَلْبُكَ, that your heart surrenders to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَأَيَسْلَمَ, and that وَأَيَسْلَمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِكَ وَيَدِكَ, and that the people feel secure from your hands and from your tongue and your hand. That means a Muslim doesn't go around harming other people physically nor verbally. That's the definition of a Muslim. And then he says, فَأَيُّ الْإِسْلَامِ أَفْضَلُ, and what kind of Islam is best? قال الإيمان, like faith. الإيمان. قال وما الإيمان؟ And what is al-Iman? أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله والبعث 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 بعد الموت. That you believe in Allah and the angels and His books and His messengers and al-Ba'ath and resurrection from death. قال فأي الإيمان أفضل? And what faith is the best? And he says الهجرة. And he says فما الهجرة? He said, what is the هجرة? What is hijra? And he says, al-hijra, the hijra is tahjura su, that you abandon evil, that you leave evil and you leave bad deeds. فَأَيُّ الْهِجْرَةِ أَفْضَلُ, but what is that, the best hijra? فَأَيُّ الْهِجْرَةِ أَفْضَلُ, الْجِهَادُ. قَال وَمَا الْجِهَادُ, and what is jihad? أَن تُقَاتِلُ الْكُفَّارِ إِذَا لَقِيتَهُ, that you fight the disbelievers when you meet them. فَأَيُّ الْجِهَادُ أَفْضَلُ قَال, and then of course he mentions what kind of jihad is best, that of course you slaughter them and this is of course in when you're fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then of course mentions, of course in this hadith he mentions the point of proof here is that iman, the hijra is the best faith and the best iman. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also ordered us to do five things. In another hadith, he says, and this hadith is from Abu Malik al-Ash'ari, and who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ana amurukum bi khams." I order you to do five things. I'm ordering you to do five things. أَمُرُكُمْ بِالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ, I'm ordering you to listen and obey. وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, and also to be with the congregation. And I'm ordering you to do the hijrah. Say, to perform the hijrah. Meaning, should you always perform hijrah? Of course, what's hijrah? If you're in a situation where you have to make hijrah, then you do so. وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and I'm ordering you to perform jihad فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the continuation of that hadith, he says, فَمَنْ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْجَمَاعَةِ قَيْدَ شِبْرٍ فَقَدْ خَلَعَ رِبْقَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ. And he says, whoever leaves the jama'ah, which means leaves the Muslim, you have a Muslim state, Muslim khilafah, and you abandon it. When you abandon it, then he has abandoned, taken away Islam from himself. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَنْ دَعَ دَعْوَةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, whoever calls, using the slogans of jahiliyyah, calling towards jahiliyyah, فَهُ جُثَاءُ جَهَنَّمُ, then he is going to be amongst the denizens of the hellfire. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he was asked, قَالَ رَجُلٌ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّى, even if he prays and he fasts? قَالَ نَعَمْ وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّى, even if he does so, he prays and he fasts. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned here, of course, the point here that we're talking about is that the hijrah, he ordered us to perform the hijrah, and if you have to. And of course, those who make hijrah, they also have virtues, they're virtuous. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَا أُمُّ الْقَوْمِ أَقْرَأُهُمْ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ, let the person who knows the most Qur'an lead them in prayer. وَأَقْدَمُهُمْ قِرَاءَةً, and then of course, those who are also those who have who precede in terms of their recitation. فَإِنْ كَانَ قِرَاءَتُهُمْ سَوَاءً. If their recitation is the same, فَلْيَأُمُّهُمْ أَقْدَمُهُمْ هِجْرًا. Then let, if they're in terms of their knowledge of the Quran and the recitation, then let the person who knows the most, who has made the hijrah the earliest, the first to make the hijrah, then let them be the people who lead the prayer if they're the same. فَإِنْ كَانُوا فِي الْهِجْرَةِ سَوَاءً. If they're the same in the hijrah, فَلْيُؤْمُوا أَكْبَرْهُمْ سِنًّا. Then let the person who's eldest lead them in prayer. وَلَا تَأُمَّنَّ الرَّجُلُ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَلَا فِي سُلْطَانِهِ. And if you're somewhere where there's already an imam or somebody who's, you're at somebody's house, then don't lead, don't go and be the imam in their place. And don't be, you know, lead the imam, be the imam in their place, because if they have the right, let's say you may memorize more of the Quran, but you're going to a masjid and he's the imam, or you're going to somebody's house and he's the head of the household, he has the right to do so. That's his place. He has the right to lead the prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلَا تَجِزْ أَلَى تَكْرِيمَتِهِ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا أَن يَأْذَنَ لَكَ أَوْ بِإِذْنِهِ. And don't sit. You know how some people, they have certain areas, like the host will sit, like for those who are the head of the table or something like that. Like, don't sit there unless you give him permission. Like, if you're a guest, you know, and then if they tell you, say, okay, because some places, you know, you sit, some areas is made for regular people, and there's some areas like, hey, this is the grandfather. The grand always sits in this place, or, you know, the elders always sit in this place, and this is his house. Then don't take that place unless you're given permission. And this is, of course, just part of good manners and good etiquettes. And also the hijrah, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَلَيْكَ بِالْهِجْرَةِ. He said, perform the hijrah. فَإِنَّهُ لَا مِثْلَ لَهَا. Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And when what? There's nothing like it in terms of the reward. In terms of reward, in terms of of what you get. And also, a person who makes hijrah, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him glad tidings and blessings of a house in Jannah. And where's Rabad al-Jannah? Where's that at? That is like, you know, in Jannah you have different places. Like, you have the neighborhood, right? And then you have the top neighborhood. Like every town, right? Every area, like the rich people live. Where do the rich people live? Right? Where are the most expensive housing? Where is it? Usually, right, depending on which city, some cities it's on top of the hill, right? And if you have a city that's on the coast, right, it's the house overlooking the ocean or overlooking the lake. Right? Those are the neighborhoods. So in Jannah, you also have different neighborhoods in different areas. So what is the best? And who are the people who are going to be there? Amr ibn Malik al-Jambi, he said, he heard Hudal ibn Abid yaqul, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, ana za'im, ana za'im. He says, I am the za'im. And za'im here means the person who not only is sort of like someone who a guarantor or someone or a leader or someone who has the ability, right? And so he says this. This is someone who's a sort of like in charge, and you know, he says, "Be baitin fi rabad al jannah." I am the zaim of a house in Jannah, and that place is what rabad al jannah. Be baitin fi wasat al jannah. It is in the middle of Jannah. And he says, وَأَنَا زَعِيمُ لِمَنْ آمَنَ بِي وَأَسْلَمَ. And I am the one who is the za'im for the one who believes and who is Islam. وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. right, who jahad fi sabilillah bi baitin fi rawd al jannah wa bi baitin fi wasat al jannah wa bi baitin fi a'la ghuraf al jannah. And so ghuraf al jannah, of course, it's this is the area, the best area in Jannah is in the middle of Jannah. It is also the highest area of Jannah, and the highest rooms in Jannah. And he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, of course, in continuation of that, he says, wa aslama wa hajara, those who accept Islam. And not only did they accept Islam and they made the hijrah. They accepted Islam and they made the hijrah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person rabd al-jannah. And they will be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. And they are also the first people, those who make hijrah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in hadith from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, who said, قَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to me, this is Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah said, أَتَعْلَمْ أَوَّلَ زُمْرٍ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Do you know the first group that in and his Messenger know best? فقال, he says, المهاجرون يأتون يوم القيامة إلى باب الجنة. The Muhajirun, they will come on the Day of Judgment to the door of Jannah. يستفتحون, and they will ask for it to be open. فيقول لهم الخزنة. So the gatekeeper of Jannah, he will say, أَوَقَدْ حُسِبْتُمْ. He said, are you guys already finished with hisab, with the reckoning? Are you already finished with the reckoning? فَيَقُولُ بِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ نُحَاسَبْ. He said, what do you mean reckon? We don't, reckoning what? What kind of reckoning are you talking about here? Right, so these are the first people. Who are the first people? They're the ones who enter without hisab, without reckoning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. And so they said, وَإِنَّمَا كَانَتْ أَسْيَافُنَا عَلَىٰ عَوَاتِقِنَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى مِتْنَا. Right, and so he said, so here remember, the beginning of the hadith, الْمُهَاجِرُونَ يَأْتُونَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَىٰ بَابِ الْجَنَّةِ وَيَسْتَفْتِحُونَ. Who are they? The first group, the Muhajirun. They are the ones who made hijrah. Because they abandoned, they left everything. They left everything for the sake of Allah. And they also fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they said, you know, what are you talking about? What kind of reckoning, right? Hatta mitna ala dhalik. We died upon that. In the path of Allah, we died upon that. فَيُفْتَحْ لَهُمْ. It will be open for them. فَيَقِيلُونَ فِيهِ 40 عَامٍ قَبْلَ أَن يَدْخُلَهَا النَّاسِ. فَيَقِيلُونَ فِيهِ فَيَقِيلُونَ فِيهَا. So then they will get to take their siesta rest for 40 years. Ya Allah. You know how when you're tired in the daytime? Because before, they were the first people. And other people haven't come yet. Like you get the, you know, when you get somewhere, like you're going camping, right? You're going camping, you have a whole group of campers coming. Whole group of campers. And then the other guys are stuck in traffic. You beat traffic. Right, you beat traffic. So you get to the campsite first and there's nobody there. There's nobody there. Like this whole time, I was like, hey, nobody's here yet. Let's rest first. Let's rest. When they come, we're all fresh. And so they get to rest. And so before the people come, they will get their qailula. Their qailula. They'll get their rest before everyone else comes. Why? Because they're there first. Because everyone else is busy with what? With hisab, with the reckoning, all right? Because they don't have any hisab. They go straight to Jannah. Who? Tuna yawm al-qiyamah ila bab jahannam wa yastaftihun. And this is, this particular hadith is Mustadrak al-Hakim. And Imam al-Zahabi said, this is a hadith sahihan ala shart sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, of course, he mentioned a lot of other, you know, other things in relation to the hijrah. But inshallah, I would like to actually end it here. And when we speak about the Hijrah, we remember the Muslims. We're talking about the Muslims in Mecca during the time in which they were persecuted very, very severely. They didn't have anywhere else to go. Where do you go? Nobody's going to accept you. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advise them to do? What did he open a way for him, for them to go? Where do they go? Which means that if you can't worship Allah freely, then go find another place to worship Allah. It's not an excuse to say, oh, you know, we couldn't, you know. Why do your children grow up non-Muslim? And why didn't you practice Islam? Oh, we couldn't. You know, the government was oppressive. Right? And so some of them, you know, like some countries, they can't go. And they try to do their best, but you have to make an effort to leave if you're able to. And what happens if I die, if I leave? Don't worry about it. If you die, inshallah, you will be the first people in Jannah also. You're a shaheed also. A muhajir is one who is leaving for the sake of Allah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds and make us amongst those who enter Jannah without hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us the highest level in paradise with the prophets and messengers. And we ask subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us and benefits from that which is hard.